My name is Tara. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with codependency. I'm here to talk about Celebrate Recovery. I work along with my husband, Jason, as a ministry leader, and I also work as an assimilation coach. And my job as an assimilation coach is to communicate to our church and to our community and to the world what Celebrate Recovery is. So that's what we're here to do today. On a Celebrate Recovery Sunday, is to let you guys know what's going on in Celebrate Recovery. And just to tell you, you know, inform you more about Celebrate Recovery and get it out into our community more and let you know what we're doing in the community with Celebrate Recovery. First thing I want to all be aware of is our website. We've developed a new website for Celebrate Recovery, and you can link it. You can go straight to it to crjcbc.com, or you can go to our church website, and you'll be linked to that as well if you go there. There's lots of good information on our website. If you look at the top, there's some headers up there, and all those different headers have got more menus that talk about all the aspects of Celebrate Recovery. It tells you when we meet. We meet every Thursday here downstairs in the fellowship hall from 7 to 9. It's for anybody struggling with hurts, habits, and hang-ups to come out to. It is a Christ-centered, biblically-based program for anyone struggling. We don't want anyone to have an excuse not to come to Celebrate Recovery. We want to provide everything we can to get as many people to Celebrate Recovery as we can. So we want to get rid of all those excuses. So one of the first things we do is we're going to provide transportation for you. If you don't have transportation to Celebrate Recovery, if you know someone who could benefit from Celebrate Recovery and they need transportation, there's a phone number on the website there under the transportation tab. It goes to Jerry Billings, who is the head of our transportation. It's got his direct cell phone number on there, and we have three vans that we run each night on Thursday nights, and he will get in touch with his guys that help run the vans, and we'll find somebody to get you to Celebrate Recovery. So we don't want you to have an excuse not to come. Once you get here, we're going to feed you. We offer a meal on Thursday nights. It starts at 6 o'clock before our meeting. Our vans get there in time for people to come and eat. We ask for a $4 donation. If people can't afford that, we want them to come and eat with us anyway. This is a very important part of our ministry. We have some families that come out that this is the only meal they have together as a family, and it provides us an opportunity to sit down and talk and minister to people during that time. So we're going to get you here, we're going to feed you, and then we're going to talk about Jesus and tell you about Jesus and the healing power that he has through our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Each Thursday night, we go through a teaching 1 week, and then we have a testimony another week. And these alternate each week through Celebrate Recovery. And you're going to get a little glimpse of each of those this morning, later on this morning. So we're going to tell you about this. And, you know, we just want as many people as we can to come out and, you know, find out about Celebrate Recovery and see what Christ can do through your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Some of the other information we have up here on the screen, the first brochure we have, these are all things to point people towards Celebrate Recovery. First one is a trifold brochure, and it has all types of frequently asked questions about Celebrate Recovery. It tells what times we meet. It tells about our transportation. It gives our website. It links people to the website. Once you get to the website, you can find information about all those hurts, habits, and hang-ups, papers, and forms. And it tells about our children's ministry. One of the major things about Celebrate Recovery is we like to be for the whole family. So we offer children's ministries aware as well. A lot of people aren't aware that we have a nursery that runs every Thursday night. We have children's programs for elementary kids and for teens. And a lot of nights we have just as many children and teens come out as we do adults. And those ministries are really thriving and growing right now with our children. The children and the teens that come out, they're learning the same principles that we're learning. Jason's going to go through the principles a little later on. When we're learning about grace, our children are learning about grace, and it's something we can go home and talk about. So it's something for the whole family to come out for. And so then we have the flyer after that. And the flyer doesn't have quite as much information on it. The back of the flyer has what's on that third one there. And it's going to point people to the website. It's going to point people to our Facebook page, and it's going to have our email address on there. We encourage you to pick up as many of these as you want. We've got tons of these back there. If you work in an office where you can leave brochures or flyers, take these with you and leave them there to invite people to Celebrate Recovery. The third one there is a baseball card. It's a smaller size. It's something you can carry around in your pocket with you. It's useful if you're at a gas station talking to somebody and you know think that Celebrate Recovery might be helpful for a person. You can hand it to them. You know, invite them to come out. Come out with them when you come. You can take those when you go into a restaurant, when you're paying your bill. You can leave those in the still there with you. So just use these materials. We hope for, you know, that they will point people. If you don't, if people ask about sober recovery and you don't know the answers to the questions, it'll point them to where they can find those answers or point them to information that they can find about those. So use those as you need to and if you can. The second part, not just being involved in our church here, is being involved in our community. And there's several things we're doing out in the community. We're still involved with Drug Court. The state does recognize us as a recovery program, so Drug Court is allowed to come to our Celebrate Recovery. We work with Day Report. We were invited to go to Drug Court Day at the Capitol, so Celebrate Recovery, I think we were the only one in our state. We have a Celebrate Recovery that was actually represented there at the Capitol on that day. So it was very good to be able to go there and be a part of that. One of our biggest things this year is Jim has started Celebrate Recovery on the inside. And it's another part of Celebrate Recovery that goes into prisons. And knowing that one of Jim's hearts is for the prison ministry, he has taken Celebrate Recovery to McDowell County, to Stevens Correctional, and he goes there every week and does Celebrate Recovery on the inside at that center there. So with that, we work with Four Stevens Recovery Home in our community as well. With those two things, he was able to bring Todd and Dana Howerton in this past year, and they did a concert, and they were allowed to go into the recovery house, and they were allowed to go into the prison and do a concert and tell about Christ's love and to give testimony through that. So that was just a real neat thing that's happened this year. We have some three-on-three basketball going on that we've had a Celebrate Recovery team involved in, just getting Celebrate Recovery name out there to have people asking questions about what it is. The latest thing that we've been involved in, we were asked to sit on our community connections here in Mercer County. They have a substance abuse prevention coalition, and they asked us to sit in on that meeting, and it was neat to be there with some other members of our community. They didn't have any faith-based organizations on that coalition, and so they heard about Celebrate Recovery and asked us to come. They were actually featured on the news, and Celebrate Recovery was a big part of that was featured on the news. So it was great to have us as a faith-based organization represented here in Mercer County on that as well. We have lots of other, you know, exciting things. I could go on and on. That's why I like being assimilation, because I can just keep talking about Celebrate Recovery. We have a big outreach event coming up in September that you'll be hearing more about, so look forward to seeing how you can help with that. There's all kinds of ways the church can get involved. We appreciate everyone who does get involved and all your support you give us, from making desserts on Thursday nights. A lot of you guys, our adult Bible fellowships, do that for us, send out desserts. And we just appreciate all the church does just in prayer and supporting us through Celebrate Recovery. Last year when we came to you and did our report, we had helped to start four other Celebrate Recoveries around the area. Since then, we've helped to start about two more Celebrate Recoveries. So it's exciting to be able to go and see other Celebrate Recoveries start in different communities. One of the guys that used to be one of our state representatives came down, and he's bringing more people. He keeps sending people to our Celebrate Recovery because he says that we are, you know, our leadership's good, and he likes the way our Celebrate Recovery is ringing, and it's just a good example for people to see how Celebrate Recovery is ringing. So it's exciting to see people come to see our Celebrate Recovery so they know and can start a Celebrate Recovery of their own. Ideally, we'd love to see Celebrate Recoveries all over our community where people had a chance where they can go to a Celebrate Recovery on each night of the week. So a lot of bigger cities, that's the way it is. There's a Celebrate Recovery running every night of the week, and you can go there. So that's something exciting to look forward to in the future. We talk about it in our community, and we talk about it around the world. When Jim visited the Ukraine, he was able to introduce Celebrate Recovery over there to Dr. Wheeler, and when they were in this past little bit that they've been in, they came and they visited our CR last Thursday, week before, and they walked through our CR with us, had lots of questions about Celebrate Recovery. We were able to answer some of those, and we are found out some resources this week where we can get, where there is Celebrate Recovery in the Ukraine, where it is translated into their language. There's some translation issues that we really struggled with as we were trying to talk them through the principles and stuff. So we found people in the Ukraine that they can get in contact with, and that's exciting to see that from our church that there could be a Celebrate Recovery started in the Ukraine as well. So there's a lot going on with Celebrate Recovery. We encourage you to come out, see what's going on, try. Like I said, it's for anybody with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Come out, bring a friend with you, try it out, see what it's all about. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to let these guys tell a little bit more about it. Jason's going to come up and he's going to kind of go over our lesson part. Jason is, not just because he's my husband that I'm saying this, but he's our ministry leader. And there's Through Celebrate Recovery, each night that we have a lesson, we have an acrostic. Celebrate Recovery uses acrostics for everything. And when we're talking about a ministry leader, we look at the acrostic tone. He sets the tone for our ministry. The T is he teaches by example. He applies the principles. He realizes that he needs personal recovery himself, and he applies these principles to his own life. Paul told the church in 1 Corinthians 1:11, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But oh, he openly shares his hurts, habits, and hang-ups. He's transparent about what's going on in his life. He's not acting like he's fixed. He's openly sharing those to everyone. And he never forgets to celebrate in Celebrate Recovery. We have to celebrate those milestones as well, those small victories, even on a day-to-day basis. We have to remember to celebrate through all the hurts that we're going through in our life. We have to remember to celebrate the small things. So he never forgets to do that and show how Christ is working in his life. And then as a ministry leader, he sets that tone so everyone wants to be a part of Celebrate Recovery. It's something that as we talk about Celebrate Recovery, people are like, well, what is that all about? I want to see what that's about. And they want to come on out and be a part of it. And that's what we want. In Acts 2:44-47, it said, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's our goal at Celebrate Recovery, to have people come in and to have lives come to Jesus Christ through the healing, seeing that healing power of Jesus Christ. So Jason is going to come and share the principles with us now.
Morning. Jim told her she had to say those things, so that's the only reason she done that. Well, we've been doing Celebrate Recovery for about 4 years now, and over 4 years I've come to understand several things. One of those is there's two types of people in life: those who need recovery and know it, and those who need recovery and don't know it. And we all need recovery because of a thing called sin. And it causes a lot of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And that can show up anywhere. Show up in your marriage. I got to remember that Tara's a sinner. I married a sinner. And she's got to remember that she married a bigger one than me. All right? So it causes a lot of problems. No, but no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're dealing with, if your problem or the situation you find yourself in, you could have an emotional problem, you could have financial problems, you could have a sexual problem, you could have whatever you could think of that brings those hurts, habits, and hang-ups into your life. God wants to help you with those. So, Celebrate Recovery, one of the key verses that it's founded on is Isaiah 57:18. God says to His people, I've seen how they've acted, but I will heal them. I will lead them, I will comfort those who mourn, and I'll bring them peace. He knows where you came from, He knows where you're at today, and He knows where you'll be at tomorrow. And this is what He tells you. If you've ever been hurt, I want to heal you. If you've ever been confused, I want to lead you. If you've ever felt helpless to change anything, I want to help you change. If you've ever felt no one understands my problems, I want to comfort you. If you've ever felt worried or afraid, He wants to give you peace. So, knowing that from Scripture, Celebrate Recovery uses 8 principles to help guide somebody through life. Not just through a program that meets downstairs on Thursdays, or ministry downstairs on Thursdays. No matter where we're at in our lives, whether you know Christ, you don't know Christ, no matter where you're at, these 8 principles work for every single person. And that's what we're going to go over today. One principle builds on the next principle. And what the principle does, it'll state something, and then the Scripture with it kind of gives an explanation to it or helps guide you through what that is. And so that's what we're going to do today. And they're based on the Beatitudes, the 8 Beatitudes out of Matthew. So we're going to go over those today, just not a long time, but briefly. I'm going to walk through how these kind of work. The first principle in that says, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor, or blessed are those who know they're spiritually poor. We still struggle with the same thing Adam and Eve did. Okay, we want to be God, we want to play God, and that leads to most of our problems. Now, because of this spiritual condition that most of us find ourselves in, or we all find ourselves in, sometimes it causes problems. It makes a life unmanageable. We do a lot of wrong things. So the word blessed or happy can translate to a spiritual well-being, a person who has acquired good fortune, a deep spiritual joy. So this is going to be a little counterculture to what some of us are used to, but what Christ is telling us, if you get to a place where you realize that it is good fortune to know that you are spiritually poor, that you're completely bankrupt, you have absolutely nothing to offer God, that's a good place to be. And because of that spiritual condition, it has caused a lot of problems. It has caused me to act like I'm God. It has caused hurts, habits, and hang-ups in my life. I can get to a place where my life's not manageable. And I also can realize that I may not know Christ as my Savior. Okay? That's a good place to be at. So by acknowledging that and understanding that, then you would move on to the second one. I earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. To mourn is to express a deep grief for the and agree with God that the evil in your heart has led to sin in your life is another great place to be, because repentance can happen at that point. You can start seeing the things you've done. You can start looking to God for help. And He says He'll comfort you. In John 14:26, it refers to the Holy Spirit as a comforter. He will be our comfort. So once you've kind of got to that point in your life, you're going to have a decision to make. And even if you know Christ as your Savior, and you've messed up, and you've realized that, and the Holy Spirit's convicted you of that, you still have a choice to make. The non-believer and the believer are both in the same boat at this point as far as making the decision what to do. One just has a greater consequence. So the third one is, we call it the commitment principle. It's going to call for a commitment to Christ. It's going to call for a commitment to give your life and your will to Him. And the verse that goes with it is, happier the meek. Jesus demonstrated the ultimate example of meekness. He had the power to do whatever He wanted to, but He bent to the will of the Father. We have this choice to make too. When we're at this place in our life and we've been convicted and we realize we have nothing to offer, we can continue to go down the same road and play God. We can continue to live in a sinful lifestyle. We can continue to live outside the will, even though we know what it may be. Or we can show humility to what God wants us to do. And that's a choice that we all have to make, no matter where we're at in life. You know, this is something that'll come up from time to time, and you got to evaluate what it is that you're doing. And when that happens, you have a decision to make. So after you get to that point, you move on to the next step. You'll start looking, because of this process and things that you've done, that you need to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Okay, now that I know Christ and the Holy Spirit's convicted me of my problems, where I already knew Christ and I've been convicted of my problems, I need to take an evaluation of who I am and what I'm doing. Okay, what pain have I caused? Who have I hurt? Okay, who is Jason? So we start making a list of those things. Now the verse that goes with that says, happier the pure in heart. Happier the pure in heart. You know, a pure heart is clean, it's blameless, unstained from guilt. The heart can be referred to as the spiritual center of a person. To have a pure heart means you would have to start ridding yourself of some of these things. Now, if we confess a sin, God will forgive us immediately. But James 5:16 says, Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Healing doesn't take place until you confess that to somebody else. Forgiveness happens immediately. But we're talking about healing here. We're talking about having a pure heart. So because of the things that I have done, because of the sin in my life, and I made this list and I've been honest about it, and I've talked to somebody I can trust about it, there's probably plenty of people in my life that there's been problems with through the years. Some of them may be recent, some of them may be a long time ago. But it tells me that I have to submit to every change that God wants to make in my life and look at these defects of character that has caused me to do certain actions. Okay, I've got to be willing to let Him get rid of them because I can't get rid of them. Because of sin, we have a character defect. We need to, like the Scripture says, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires, or those who thirst for righteousness. If we thirst for righteousness, God can help transform those defects of character. I'm sure there's people in here just like me. I've struggled with some of the same things for years and years. I can't change them. If I could have, I would have, but I can't, so I don't. Only God can do that. But we have to allow Him to do that. So we have to do what He requires. We have to thirst for righteousness to be transformed. So once I realize those defects of characters and I got all that, and now I really got to evaluate these relationships that I talked about earlier. It says, the next principle, evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Make amends for the harm I've done to others. Except when to do so would harm them or others. There's no need to go to somebody and cause further pain to them if it's not necessary. That's you get a lot of questions about that last part. There's no need to do that if it's just taking a little bit of weight off my shoulders. But the happier the merciful, if I understand mercy, if I understand the mercy that God had for me and the punishment that I deserve, I can then extend mercy to somebody else. It's really hard to extend that mercy if you never understand it or accepted it. It's built in us. We all hope for mercy. We all expect justice. It's like anybody ever been in trouble? Man, I hope I get pulled over. Man, I hope that cop writes me a warning. Where do you think that comes from? God built that in us to hope for mercy. But at the same time, we expect justice. If somebody stole something from you, you think something should be done about it. Okay, so we have to extend mercy, and we have to be the peacemakers. When somebody has wronged me, and they know that, and we talk about that, that allows me to share Christ with them. I can forgive them because Christ forgave me. Okay, now that I've worked through all those relationships, I have to keep continuing to grow as a believer. So what I want to do, I want to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and the power to gain the power to follow His will. Happier the pure in heart. I cannot have a pure heart if I don't know what God's Word says. So I have to have prayer, Bible reading, time with God to do that. And I have to have self-examination. Because these problems that are all around us, they're not going away. And little by little, things can creep in. You can, if you don't examine yourself daily, things can build back up and take you off in another direction again. So this step here is growing as a believer. The last one is after a person has went through those and they've kindly completed Celebrate Recovery, worked through the steps. We encourage that person to take that message to somebody else. Nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bed. Okay, we want to carry that message to our church, to the community, wherever God would lead us and give us the opportunity to do that. And one of the things that we do is testimonies. Like Tara said, we're going to have a testimony here in a minute. But the verse that goes with that are happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. We have experienced that personally. There's people in the community, in the recovery community, that don't like what we do. I've experienced it personally from my own family because of my testimony. So this is telling you up front what to expect. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, darkness don't like light at times. So there's going to be some people who don't like what you have to say. And we should know that when we're in that place, that we're doing God's will. Now, these steps, if you notice, they don't go away. If I read these for Jason 20 years from now, guess what they're going? They're all still in present tense. So I never graduate from not. I always need to be spiritually poor. I always need to show meekness. You know, I always need to be a peacemaker. These are things that God guide me through life. And it's based upon, you know, the Beatitudes. So you don't graduate past this if you understand what these are. It ain't like, hey, I'm done with that. No, because it's based on the Word of God, so you're never done with that. These are just a format to help me stay on track. Now, they seem kind of simple, don't they? If you read them, they don't seem too bad. Simple and easy are two different things. There's nothing easy about some of these. Especially when the part when somebody asks you to confess your sins to somebody else. That's when people start stepping out the door. Okay? So simple never means easy. This is difficult. This is tough work. So simple don't mean easy with these. So don't, when you look at this, that's kind of simple. Yeah, well, if you do it, take it serious. It's tough. The other thing with the testimony, man, we love testimonies. There's a power in a testimony. There's a power about what Christ's done for you, and nobody can take that from you. The only thing that can take that can keep that down is if you refuse to do it. If you refuse to give your testimony. Revelation 12:11 says they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, the enemy knows he can't do nothing about it, the blood of the Lamb. That's done and over with. He knows that. He lost on that one, but he can try to keep you from giving a testimony. So here in a minute, we're going to have a testimony by one of our great leaders, Paula Elliott, going to come and give her testimony. And in Celebrate Recovery, we have workshops on how to do your testimony, get somebody started in the right direction. And we write testimonies out for a reason. We share with each other our testimony. We get people to look at it. We make sure God's getting the glory in everything that we do. We're accountable in every way, shape, and form that we can be in CR. Okay? So thank you guys, and Paul will be up in just a second.
Testimony. The statement or declaration of a witness. Evidence in support of a fact or statement. Proof. An open declaration or profession. You're about to hear a testimony. A true, honest testimony from a fellow struggler who has found life change in the power of Jesus Christ through Celebrate Recovery. Are you ready to hear it?
Good morning. I'm Paula, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who has struggled with codependency. I was the middle daughter of three, born into a preacher's family. Within my home, there was always unconditional love for us and respect shown between my mom and dad that we daughters experienced and observed. There was also another presence living in our home as well, and that was Jesus Christ. Our parents and grandparents were believers who lived their faith in Jesus in our home and out in the world as well. They were great examples of living the Christian faith and serving others. The religion of the churches that my dad pastored was strict, but inside our home, our lives were loving, nurturing, and fun. However, within this religion, I believed I could lose my salvation. I was confused as to which sin would make me a sinner again, so I would get saved over and over again. I lived with a fear that God would return or I would die and I wouldn't be saved. My parents thought I was just praying and growing closer to God, but I was asking God to save me over and over. I was a young adult in my church here at Johnston Chapel when I finally believed in eternal salvation, that Christ died one time for my sins and He covered them all. One of the difficult issues in being a preacher's kid for me was that everyone in the church seemed to expect us to be better, not struggle as much, and not make mistakes. So I learned to always put on a smile and not let others truly know how I felt or what my struggles were. When asked, "How are you?" I learned to answer, "Fine." So I began early wearing a mask with others. This also began my people-pleasing attitude and codependency actions. Satan knew the people-pleasing teen would grow into a codependent woman. I still loved God and worked in the church, but I continued to try to earn God's love and to show I was worthy as well. Growing into adulthood, my self-esteem would go up and down in how I perceived others thought of me or my family. I was working in church like a good Christian does. I was continually trying to fix things and people or people please. My mask was solid and thick. Attempting to fix family or anyone boosted my self-esteem and made me feel better about myself, or so I thought. In 1999, after a huge disappointment to my life, this church stepped up in a big way and loved me and my family. I smiled and pretended to be okay. Only a couple of close friends knew how I really was doing, but even they did not know completely. I continued to wear the "I'm fine" mask and be the good little Christian to everyone else. I lived in a state of perpetual depression, but would hide it enough to not attract attention. So I continued to serve in the church for years, too. One day, Jim Simmons called and asked me to come and work with him in Celebrate Recovery. I remember saying to him, "Yes, I believe I could help some of those people." I know Jim was probably chuckling, and God, too. But Jim graciously said, "Just come on out and work with us." God had to be thinking, "Now I've got her." You see, God already knew I am one of those people. I was to learn that Celebrate Recovery is for anyone with hurts, hang-ups, and habits, not just for drug addicts and alcoholics. When I began attending CR and participating, my codependency and I tried to figure out how you help those people. After being exposed to Principle 1, realize I'm not God, I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor, Matthew 5:3. But as I continued to come each Thursday and work with the leadership team, I began to hear the word codependency. I learned what codependency meant and realized that I fit the description so well. God showed me that He had never given up on me, and now, at this time of my life, I would learn how to begin to peel the layers upon layers of cemented mask I had worn beginning at an early age. I love the verse, "My ways are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:8-9. Learning the Celebrate Recovery small group guidelines also helped me begin to share with honesty and openness on what a particular question meant to me. Number one of the guidelines is keep your sharing focused on your own thoughts and feelings. We had to use I statements. As a Christian for many years, I had learned to use we statements well. That didn't open me up, you see. It helped me stay closed and hidden. I knew all the Christianese words, such as "we need to pray more," "we need to love more," or we need to forgive more. Although these types of words were correct, they didn't make me be completely honest on why or how I needed to do these things. It didn't chisel any parts of my mask off. I was safe. I have learned through Celebrate Recovery that when sharing with I statements, I am truly working on myself alone with God. This helped me begin the tough work of revealing who Paula PJ is and allowing others to see less and less of a mask of me. This guideline helped me deal with my codependency in a safe, slow process. I had now been asked to facilitate a step study group, which consisted of four participants' guides or booklets that Pastor John Baker had developed from Rick Warren's 10-week series called The Road to Recovery. I learned these four participant guides are the heart of our Celebrate Recovery program. This study is where I truly began to work with God on my codependency and its hold on my life. God had begun to prepare me for this before I joined Celebrate Recovery. I had joined Barry Blizzard's small group on Sunday nights. This group openly accepted me and gave the most incredible hugs to me and to each other. They shared hurts and prayer requests. This was God preparing me as He was going to help chisel my mask away. In my CR step study group, we also had to follow the small group guidelines, and I've shared number one already. Small group guidelines two and three are, there is no crosstalk, and we're here to support one another, not fix another. These simple but strong guidelines helped me to stop trying to fix or work on others. These guidelines were just what my codependency self needed. I realized that when I was trying to fix others instead of leaving them in God's hands, I was taking on the role of God. He really didn't or doesn't need me to fix someone. I realized I needed to work on myself with God and be open and able to share what God has done for me through my hurts, hang-ups, and or habits. In each of the step study lessons, God and I alone worked through scripture, principles, and questions. This was where the healing came for me. Working through Celebrate Recovery step studies has helped me to see patterns in my life and triggers that fed or try to feed my codependency issues. I've learned that my self-worth comes through God. I am adored and loved through Him. My self-worth does not need to pivot up and down a scale due to others' thoughts or actions with me, and God never changes His love for me. The meditation verse I use to ponder on this is, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. When I began the fourth step study participant guide, I was tickled to read the title. It is Growing in Christ While Helping Others. Now, finally, it was clear to me how to help others. It is through sharing my struggles with my own hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and the work God and I have done together. I've learned to pray for family members and friends and leave them in God's hands and realize I cannot fix anyone. I allow them to act independently and not dependently on me. I can share my story and listen to others. I have learned to forgive and not pick back up the sin of unforgiveness. I practice this by learning to daily evaluate myself, have daily meditation and daily prayer with God. This keeps me struggling well with codependency. Another verse I have learned to pray during this daily inventory is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139:23-24. With the new me, I have been able to work in Celebrate Recovery as a trainer in our leadership team. As I worked through the program, I was able to see why certain pieces were important. I also had plenty of practice being open and honest with others. Yes, God has to still be chuckling or roaring with laughter when I am reminding our leaders how important it is not to try to fix anyone with cross-talking. There is one piece I want to share that I haven't shared yet. When I was 9, I was praying and asking God to use me for His service. I felt from that time on that I would and should be a missionary for Him. Somehow, that didn't happen, and you've heard some of my story now. But I always carried that around in my heart. That was one more failure I felt I had, one desire unmet. But I was reminded since working through Celebrate Recovery steps and principles that that dream or desire had now been fulfilled. Through God leading me to this program and through this program, I have worked hard to be of service to Him. I am reminded of the verse that may He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed, Psalm 24. God has overwhelmed me with this truth. As I am now a trainer in CR, a sponsor, a facilitator ending my fourth step study, I realize that I am a missionary. I have been blessed to work with people as I use my past brokenness, for God's glory and His kingdom. I have also been blessed to lead some people to Christ because of our Celebrate Recovery program. My heart is so full and overwhelming and overflowing with gratitude. To anyone today interested in attending or serving in Celebrate Recovery, come just as you are and work through this program. I promise it works because it's based on the higher power, Jesus Christ. He is enough to help you. I know, because He has helped me through this program learn to not live in my codependency, but in and through Him. Thank you for letting me share.
We've tried to give you a picture today of Celebrate Recovery, our overall program. How we reach out in the community to try to find folks to help, and what happens on a given night. And as you can see from Paula's testimony, the number of different issues that are there to be addressed. Principle one, realize I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Many of us are afraid to get to that place. We've been so controlled by our fears and our anger, our anxiety, it has become our identity. So we're afraid of change. And sometimes we even want to blame God. Well, that's just the way I am. That's the way God made me, and I can never change. But that's not true. God did not make us to hurt other people. God did not make us to live in fear, and to live in hurt, and to live in pain. God did not make us that we would become our own God, to try to find our own way out of our own pain. God did not make us to live in secret and to never find healing or hope or life. So the power of Celebrate Recovery is that we get to that place where we realize I am not God. I do not have the power to fix myself. I do not have the power to give myself life. I can't heal my own wounds. And I can't heal the wounds of others that I have caused. Only God can do that, and I must learn to trust Him. And so that's the power of principle two, that I earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, that He has the power to help me recover. And when I find His life and when I find His recovery and I find His hope,
I want others to know that and to share that. And I'm no longer responsible to fix the world or control the world. And I'm no longer living in my own pride where I think I'm God and where I think I can control others. And I use that with my anger or my distance or my resentments or my unforgiveness. There is a God. There is a God that loves us. There is a God who's seeking us. There is a God who says, I want to heal you. And all He asks is that you give up being God and to trust Him and to follow Him and watch the healing that He will do in your life. If you've heard this today and you say, man, Jim, I know I've got some issues. I've had something I've been struggling with all my life, and I didn't think I could ever get over that, then Celebrate Recovery's for you. If there's a pain that you're dealing with, then Celebrate Recovery's for you. If your life is filled with resentments and anger and bitterness, then Celebrate Recovery's for you. We have out in the lobby a display table with a lot of issues listed on that. Drop by and look at that. And I would encourage you, if you're thinking, if you're wondering, is there something there for me? Come out on a Thursday night. We will protect your identity. We do not talk about who comes to Celebrate Recovery. We don't even talk about what we talk about at Celebrate Recovery. I say that to guys every week because you know what? It's no one else's business. It's your business between you and God. And let Him deal with that. It's not our place. So you will find people who are also on the road, who are struggling, and someone that will put their arm around you and you put your arm around them, and we know we're fellow strugglers on that road, but we know there's a God who wants to heal us, and we're all on that search. So I pray that if there's something in your life today, if there's something that you've kept secret for a very long time, something that you've held in your heart that you've never shared with another person, then don't listen to the voice of sickness, the voice of secrets, the voice of anger and resentment. Listen to the voice of God as He's calling you to come and drink of His water. Find His freedom. Find His healing. Find His life. We at Celebrate Recovery want to thank this church so much for allowing us to have this program and all the support that so many people give us. It's a great outreach of this church into our community. And folks, we work very hard to find hurting people to bring them to our church. And I tell you what's great. If anyone that comes to Celebrate Recovery, I say, hey, look, if you don't have a church, come to our church. You will be loved. You will be accepted. And like all good Baptists, you'll always find a meal. And we see a lot of our friends come. If you have someone that you love very much that's hurting, come with them. Bring them. Find a way to get here to find the hope and the healing and the life that only comes through Jesus Christ.